White House. Today is the 36th day of the session, March 2nd, 2005. And some of you have noticed I'm getting quite a collection of items here on the desk. I have not mentioned the train, but I'm glad to see that it's back on track. A little notice, I'm sure that didn't wasn't meant to apply to me, but it was taken out of the newspaper, so again, it's a public notice. Randall, we regret this morning that your youth permit has expired. You must apply.
There's something wrong with that. Why?
I know. I like that.
Senate will please come to order. The chief clerk will call a roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, March the 2nd. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case? Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Haynes,
here.
Fox,
here.
Hines,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Job,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Massey,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Mockler,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Peck,
here.
Ross,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Vasey,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Larson,
here.
Case 30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Purch.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your love and grace which has sustained these men and women as they have deliberated deeply, fought fairly, and have sought with all their might to do those things which are good and right. We ask that your presence continue to be among them, fill them with strength and endurance. Give to them all that is necessary to do what they have been elected to do. Give them your spirit so that they may think clearly without confusion, speak honestly without rancor, to debate without division, and decide courageously without contention. And when all is said and done, give them the good grace and the good sense to be at peace with themselves, with their neighbor, and with you. We commend these petitions to you, Almighty God, trusting in your mercy. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 1st, 2005 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day, who is not here, is Dr. Leonard Lapkin from Cheyenne. There is no nurse for the day, scheduled for the day. The thought for the day, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. Fellow senators, this is Read Across America Day. And we are very pleased to have with us today some students. And as you recall from years past, this is the birthday of Dr. Seuss. As you all know, Dr. Seuss was the beloved author of children's books. And to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday, the National Education Association annually sponsors Read Across America Day. To encourage children to pick up a book and read. This is now in its eighth year, and Read Across America has become the largest celebration of reading in the nation and focuses the country's attention on the importance of motivating and helping children learn to read. Joining us to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday party and the Read Across America Day are a number of students from Alta Vista Elementary. Several classes from Alta Vista are visiting the Capitol today to spend time reading with the Senate, the House, and several of our statewide elected officials. Senator Boggs and Senator Jennings and Senator Peck have volunteered to read to us all this morning, and we would like the students to join us in the front of the chamber and have a seat on the floor. And we're going to spend a few minutes to have those senators read aloud to celebrate. So if you would all come up, students, and have a seat on the floor here in front of the podium. And the senators... wasn't turned around right. And then after they get seated, would the senators please come up? And you will read to all of us in the order of Senator Boggs, Senator Jennings, and Senator Peck. Senator Boggs. You can go a little more if you wish. Thank you, Senator Boggs. Senator Jennings.
I chose a book that says, How I Became a Pirate. And then somebody marked through pirate mode the legislature. Pirates have green teeth when they have any teeth at all. I know about pirates because one day when I was at the beach building a sandcastle in mighty wild business, a pirate ship sailed into view. I knew what it was because it had a flag that had skull and crossbones. And because I could hear the pirates singing, "Hey ho, blow the man down." They were a little off key. I tried to tell Dad, but he was busy setting up the beach umbrella. I tried to tell Mom, but she was busy slathering my baby sister with sunblock. So I went back to my sandcastle, but I kept an eye on the pirates. By then, they were rowing to the shore. And they landed. The head pirate climbed out of the boat and yelled, "Ahoy there, matey. Be this a Spanish Main?" "No," I said, "this is North Beach." "Shiver me timbers," the pirate said. "We must have taken a wrong turn at Bora Bora." He walked around my sandcastle. He looked at the moat, and then he yelled back to his crew, "He's a digger, and he's a good one to boot." "A good one to boot," the others all agreed. "What be your name, matey?" the head pirate asked. "Jeremy Jacobs, sir," I told him. "Well, Jeremy Jacobs," he said, "you're looking at Ray Beer and his crew. We need a digger like yourself. We've a chest of treasure to bury." "Aye, treasure," the other shouted. "You're coming with us," Ray Beer told me. I didn't think Mom and Dad would mind as long as I got back to soccer practice the next day. That's how I became a pirate. As soon as we were off, Ray Beer showed me the chest of gold and jewels. "Got to find a safe place for here treasure. It's high time we were off," he announced. "We're off," they all shouted, and then we sailed away. There was plenty to do on board. The pirates taught me to sing sea chanties, and louder the better, and to say real pirate stuff like "land lover" and "scurvy dog." By dinner time, I could speak pirate perfectly. I also learned pirate manners. Breakbeard pounded his fist on the table and yelled, "Down the hatch, me laddies! Down the hatch!" we all shouted. Breakbeard gulped his food and said, "Hand over the meat we all wore." Nobody told us to finish our spinach, there wasn't any, and to chew our carrots, those weren't allowed on board either. We talked with our mouthfuls and nobody said please or thank you. After dinner, I tried to teach the pirates to play soccer. Breakbeard kicked the ball and yelled, "Oh, it's soccer, oh, it's soccer," the crew yelled. Then everybody dove for the ball at once and it rolled right off the deck. "After it, me hearties," Breakbeard commanded. "After it," we all whispered. We fought over who would go get the beach ball, but it didn't matter anyway because a shark came along and swallowed it up in one gulp. So much for soccer. By now it's past my bedtime, but nobody tells pirates when to go to bed, to take a bath or to brush their teeth. And that's why they all have green teeth.
Senator Jennings, for them to find out if he ever got home, they're going to have to read that rest of that themselves.
And that's why their teacher has the book.
You bet. Senator, Senator Seuss.
Okay, kids. Here comes Dr. Seuss himself. And we're going to read Curious George. I bet you've all read that at least once. The class was taking a field trip to the museum, and George was going along. "We're glad to have you, George," said Mr. Chauncey, the teacher, "but don't get into trouble." At the museum, Mr. Chauncey began to explain one of the stories. "These rocks are millions of years old." But the students weren't listening. "This is boring," said a student. "It sure is," said another. "Hey, when's lunchtime?" George wandered off. He didn't find the rocks very interesting either. But in the next room, George saw something very interesting. A huge skeleton. What a long tail. It was too much for George to resist. He stepped over the rope and jumped onto the tail. He climbed down. Then he climbed up. He climbed up until he reached the skeleton's head. And there he sits right on top of the skeleton. And just then, Mr. Chauncey and the class came in the room. "Look at that dinosaur," said Jimmy. "Hey, and look at George," he shouted. "Right at him, George," cried the girl. Guards heard the noise. "Get down from there," ordered one of them. "I'm going to direct you," said the other. George was scared. "Is that how they rode dinosaurs in the old days?" Bill asked Mr. Chauncey. "Well, no," he said. Tell us more about dinosaurs. George is curious. What was a dinosaur? Well, said Chauncey, the earth is what's full of these creatures. Suddenly, the director of the museum came charging in. What's this about a monkey on our dinosaur, he asked. Guards! Get that monkey down before he causes any damage, he ordered. Poor George. There he was on top of the dinosaur, no place to hide. Hey, just a moment, said Mr. Chauncey. George is a great help to me. He got the children interested in dinosaurs. He wouldn't have listened, said a boy. It's so interesting, said another. I want to come back, said a girl. Well, said the director, I can see that our dinosaur is damaged. We'll forgive him this time. You can come down, George, he called. Just what George did, he jumped right off the dinosaur's head. Hooray, the student shouted. Mr. Chauncey said, I have to thank you for making this visit an interesting one, George. Next time, promise not to ride the dinosaurs. And when the bus stopped in front of George's house, the man in the yellow hat was waiting. I'm glad to see you, George. I hope you didn't get into any trouble. Okay.
Senators, thank you for reading aloud to all of us. I think we all enjoyed the stories. I know I did. And students, thank you so much for joining us today and spend some time reading with us. I hope this celebration has highlighted the importance of learning to read and encourage a lifelong love of reading. Thank you all again. And we're going to tell you one of the most important things you can ever learn is how to read. So thank you for coming. While we're still doing some of these things, I want to be sure that all of you know that there is going to be a memorial service for Senator Binich in the rotunda at 12:10 this afternoon. So any of you who can and wish to, please attend. I'll try to remind you again just before we get out. But messages from the House.
March 1st, 2005, from the House of Representatives, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 175, TANF increase, ayes 57, noes 0, excused 3. House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation, ayes 38, noes 19, excused 3. House Bill 223, Suicide Prevention, ayes 45, noes 12, excused 3. House Bill 243, Firefighters Dependents Tuition, ayes 57, noes 0, excused 3. House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Program, ayes 55, noes 2, excused 3. House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program, ayes 57, noes 0, excused 3. And House Bill 112, Foreclosure Sale Proceeds, ayes 55, noes 2, excused 3. March 1st, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 552, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 314, Guardian ad litem. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 57, excused 3. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. From the House of Representatives, message number 553, conferees appointed, joint conference committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 314. The House conferees are Representative Simpson, Chairman, Representatives Alden and Representative Goggles. From the House of Representatives, message number 555, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 121, repeal of term limits. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. From the House of Representatives, message number 554, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 18, grain laws. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. From the House of Representatives, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 39, Child Protection Amendments. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 33, noes 24, excused 3. Joint Conference from the House of Representatives, message number 548. Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 85, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 0, excused 3. From the House of Representatives, message number 549, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 293, Illegal Drug Manufacturing Precursor Chemicals. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 3, excused 3. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Concurrences. Senator Burns, are you ready?
Yes.
516, Senate File 41.
Yes, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 516.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 516, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 41, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, substitute number 2. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 44, noes 14, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move concurrence on message number 516, which is Senate File 41, and ask Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, and ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, the House changed this bill considerably not the least, batting about 25 amendments on this, and there's some major structural changes in the bill too. So I would like to I would like us to have a meeting with them and see if we can get an explanation on some of the reasons behind some of their amendments.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion on the concurrence request? Any discussion? Seeing none. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 41, Message 516, and you've been asked to vote no. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup? Peck?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 noes.
By your vote, you failed to concur on Senate File Number 41, Message 516. Since we're getting down to the end, I'm at this time going to appoint the Conference Committee for Senate File 41. That will be Senator Burns, Senator Massey, and Senator Peck. Senator Boggs, are you ready on message 539? Will the reading clerk read in the message?
March the 1st, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 539, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Challenge Program. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Boggs.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I move concurrence on message number 539, which references Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Challenge Program, and I ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, the House made three amendments, and I believe all three amendments strengthen the bill. The first amendment, I believe, was perhaps an oversight on my part. You will recall that we changed funding from the general fund to the School Foundation Program account, but when we sent the bill across, that change had been made, but if the feds do not provide a match, then the money reverts, and we had the money reverting to the general fund rather than the school foundation fund. So the First Amendment on the other side was to ensure that the money reverted to the school foundation program account. The Second Amendment had to do with starting time. The amendment changed it from July the 1st, 2005 to immediately. And the reason for that change is, you will recall we had a discussion about startup and about receiving the federal money and getting the program in place in time to get the classes started within that first year. In order to advertise and hire, in order to find a place and do any maintenance that needs to be done on that, in order to recruit the students, we need as much time as possible. So an immediate starting date is an improvement over a July the 1st starting date. And then finally, the Third Amendment recommended requiring reports, and specifically reports on yearly enrollment in the Youth Challenge Program, the yearly number of successful completions in the Challenge Program, and an annual detailed listing of budget expenditures. And so, Mr. President, I think all these amendments are appropriate. I think they strengthen the bill, and I do ask the body to vote aye.
Any discussion on the concurrence request? Any discussion? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 159, Message 539, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing votes. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 159, Message 539. Senator Scott, are you ready on Message 538?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in Message 538.
March 1st, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 538, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 122, Higher Education Endowments Account. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, no 0, excuse 3. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur with House amendments to Senate File 122, the Higher Education Endowment Bill, and I ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, the House took a very good bill that we sent them, and they made it even better. What they did, and it was major, what they did was they added a scholarship endowment to the bill. Now, as it left here, as introduced, it had a scholarship endowment in it. As it left here, it had some of the language with regard to that, but the appropriation was lacking. What the House did was redo that language and added a $400 million endowment for scholarships. So the bill as it stands is $105 million for the Excellence in Higher Education Endowment that's divided between the university and community colleges. That amount is what left the Senate, and the House kept that in. And then they added this $400 million scholarship endowment. And they added a committee to figure out exactly how the scholarship program was going to work over the interim committee with some legislators and representatives from the business community, the university, the State Department of Education, et cetera. The scholarships, the way they have got it structured, would be, to some extent, would be merit-based. So that if this passes, and then we pass the implementing legislation on that next year, we would be able to say to every high school student in the state of Wyoming, if you keep your grades up, stay out of trouble, you will be able to go to college. And Mr. President, that will change the face of Wyoming. It will be a powerful motivator for our students. It will make Wyoming a very attractive place for any number of people to come. It will give us in the future a well-trained workforce. It does all kinds of positive things for Wyoming, and especially when it's linked as it is in this bill, to the excellence in education endowments that are designed to improve the quality at the university and our community college. It gives us a package that I think we can be very proud of. Now, I do want to express one caution on this. As the bill left the Senate, we would have funded the excellence in education endowments within the current biennium. The financing mechanism that the House put in so that they could add the $400 million will take more time. My guess, and they're running out beyond where our projections go. We had Mary Burns look at it very carefully as to what it did. My guess is it's going to be 7 to 8 years. So there is some risk, Mr. President, that at some point in there we'll have a collapse in the energy prices that is ultimately the source of the revenue here, and that we won't get the whole thing done. Mr. President, that's a risk we can address in the future, and I think it's a risk worth running to get this kind of a package that will set a course for this state in terms of its higher education and the access that all our students have to the higher education. And in talking about the access to the scholarships, one point I would make is that the way this is written, there's been a dispute between the advocates of need-based scholarships and the advocates of merit-based scholarships. The way this is written, we'll have a merit-based program, but there is still plenty of room for compromise, and I think the committee will bring to the legislature a compromise on the issue of where is it appropriate to also use need-based scholarships. I think it's clearly open to that, and I think what we'll see is a program that's a mixture of both concepts. And with that, Mr. President, I do urge the Senate to vote aye, and I would like to yield to Senator Massey for a few remarks and a little more explanation, particularly on the financing amendment.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the funding mechanism, if folks remember back to the bill that we discussed earlier in the session that was sponsored by the fine senator from Park County, you'll remember that the amount of federal mineral royalty that flows into the state above the $200 million mark gets channeled two different ways. Two-thirds of it into the budget reserve account and one-third of it into the school foundation account. What this bill does is that the money that flows into the school foundation account, once it reaches $100 million, you know, as of July 1st of every year, everything above that then gets diverted into the two accounts into this bill, the higher education accounts. The one account is the Excellence in Higher Education Endowment account, which goes to getting some of the best faculty in the country to Wyoming or to retaining them here. And 21% of that flow will go into that account. The other account is, as the sponsor of the bill just mentioned, is the scholarship account, and 79% will go into that. And then it slowly builds up over 7 or 8 years. And Mr. President, in many ways, this bill is a testimonial to faith. The first thing that we're having faith in is the fact that mineral prices are going to stay up pretty much where they are now. And if they go higher, then we're even going to have additional funds flow into these accounts. So it's a testimonial, it's faith in mineral prices, it's faith in our institutions of higher education. It's recognition of the excellent work that the presidents of the university and community colleges, of their boards, you know, the institutions themselves have done, especially in recent years, and it's faith that they're going to be able to implement the provisions in this bill. And the fact that it's going to take several years to do, well, it will mean that we're going to be able to track their progress in doing this. And also there's reporting requirements in the bill, a very important one that was put here by the senator from KC into this bill that's still here, and we're going to get some reports back and be able to track it closely. Mr. President, it's also faith in higher education and what it can do for the individual, the keys that it provides them for success in life, and the doors that it's going to open to them. And finally, Mr. President, It's faith in the individual spirit, a tradition here in Wyoming. Okay, faith that by giving the person the opportunities that they need in life, that their spirit will take over and take advantage of those opportunities. In a session that at times have been dominated in dealing with the problems in the state, whether it's meth or juvenile justice issues and other ones, it's nice to end on a bill that indeed has faith in the human spirit, faith in the individuals, especially in our younger generation, that we're going to make this kind of investment to them, and they're going to return it to our communities. I urge concurrence.
Further discussion. Senator Mockler.
I just have a question, and it has to do with the money flow. Just so I get this straight, the bill we just concurred with right before this changed that the National Guard Youth Challenge Program would come out of the school foundation fund, and I think there are other bills that pulled money out of the school foundation fund. Does this preclude us from doing that, or do we have to stay within some caps? Because guess what? We're always going to raid the school foundation fund as long as it has money in it. And I just want to know who actually gets priority, this account, or do bills that come in the future have to come in after this account? And it's more just structural understanding of how this is going to work, because we've already done it once already this year.
Senator Meyer, before...
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have faith, and I believe we're spending a lot of money in the future on a program that has a lot of merit if we continue on this. However, Mr. President, spending $400 million more on one side of the Capitol than the other without a lot of study, I think it would be a great interim study. I don't believe actually that it would be something that would be prudent for us to just spend another $400 million without that going through the full process, including the appropriations process on both sides, and perhaps our appropriation process in the interim coming into next session, into the budget session. Both these programs, the scholarship program has a lot of merit. The endowment program, I believe, has a lot of merit. But now we're looking at $500 million or more. Mr. President, I can remember my first years down here when it was tight, and it will get tight again. We were debating whether we were going to give $3 million or $8 million to the schools, total, everything. Now, true, we've got a lot of money. But, Mr. President, I feel like rather than being a pirate, that we're spending money like drunken sailors. Mr. President, both these have got a lot of merit, as I said before. I believe it's something that we have to do at some point in time. The Constitution says that education should be as nearly free, I think, as practical. We've been working on these for quite some time. However, Mr. President, it's another $400 million without going through the process, without having the public input, and without knowing what we're going to have as far as competition 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now. And then if we find out, Mr. President, that we do have competition for these funds and we have somebody in a scholarship program and they're a freshman or a sophomore and the money runs out, what are we going to do when they're a junior or a senior? I think we need to think this through. I think we need to know that if we make a commitment to a young person that goes to college, that's a 4-year commitment. And we shouldn't be able to pull the rug out from underneath them. We haven't looked at what's going to be out there 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now. We don't have a future plan for the whole government, and we're spending enough money for an extra $400 million, Mr. President. It just isn't the prudent thing to do.
Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, just a question for the proponents of the concurrence. Based upon the present funding plan and the projected revenues that will be coming into this fund, what is this going to mean to a student who gets out of high school and wants to go to the university? How much of his education is going to be covered by this particular program?
Senator Sessions.
And I'm just trying to get some comfort level, I guess, with this whole thing, and I think I'm there. except for one thing, and that happens to be the commitment to maybe the 50% of our high school students who are not attending college. And if you, many of you have been to high school graduations and your families have participated in the amount of money that comes into our top students. There's a lot of money that comes into our top students, and they deserve it. They deserve every penny we can get. But we have recognized in this state that 50% of our kids, it is not even in their radar to go on to school or go on to any kind of a training program. They don't understand, and as we heard at one meeting we had this year, we have a lot of work to do to go down into those high schools and maybe into their junior highs and build that hope or build that recognition and belief that they can go on to school. I don't mind holding their feet to the fire on some of this, on behavior, grades, and so forth, but my concern is, does this turn into something else for the best and the brightest? And I love those kids to pieces, but we have 50% of our kids, it's not even in their radar that they can go on to school or that they have a future by going on to school. The comfort level I need is, who's going to design this to go down to make sure that we do the building in our high schools and the building in our maybe our junior highs to make those kids believe that there is something out there for them and that we've provided this without putting that bar so high that they can't make it. And so that's my concern with it, and I have a discomfort level with that because I know what goes on with some of this stuff. So I just hope we do it right so that we can make a difference in this state. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, and I too have a concern going to page 16 and 17. In fact, we've elected to go with a merit-based scholarship program, and what concerns me is I never actually saw the studies coming out. You either go merit-based or you go need-based, and it has a profound effect which way you go. And what's happening in this bill, without ever looking at need-based scholarship outcomes, somebody's decided we're going to go merit-based. And I'm very nervous about that. And in fact, there's no provision for any need-based. If you look at the criteria for these scholarships, it is strictly merit-based. Nothing applies. There's no way for a need-based system to even get in the way this bill's written. I think it's premature to do that. I think we need to step back and say, which is the best for the state of Wyoming? Is need-based the route we ought to go, or merit-based? And they don't run together, and the outcomes are different, depending which way you go. In this bill, in a matter of a conference committee, we've decided merit-based is the way we ought to go. And I'm not sure that, I don't know. But I know once you elect to go one way, you can't go back and go the other. It doesn't work that way, folks. I'm nervous. This is too much. All of a sudden, to come in on a conference committee and say this is going to be the best route, the best investment that we have. I think we need to step back and first look at what sort of program we need to set up, what will be the benefits to our students down the road, and then figure out how we need to structure this thing. Merit-based, I'm not convinced that's really for the benefit of all of the state. I ask you to vote no on this.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, my concern, I believe if I understand the bill correctly, is that as good as it is and as well as it sounds, it is not addressing a lot of the needs that we have for our young people in Wyoming. As I, in my community, we need people that learn trades. We need plumbers. We need electricians. We need carpenters. We also need people that are learning the drilling and the part that works out in the field. And a lot of people are not really, or a lot of students, people ourselves, are not really geared to go through college. So I think we need a combination. And with this, I don't see that we have a combination. Also, I'm also concerned within my own family anyway, the young people that went to college are the ones that have left Wyoming. And so we don't seem to be keeping up on the other end of providing the economy with good-paying jobs that we can keep these young people in Wyoming so they can make a good living. If we continually work on one end, will we also lose more in the future? So I think this needs a little more discussion and work before we adopt it.
Further discussion before Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I just received a call from a drunken sailor complaining about how expensive this bill is.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I guess on and in favor of the bill. I studied this bill last year when the Senate took it from the House's point of view. I wondered how we could ever afford it and where we could go. The Senate, though, began the process of determining the availability of the resources when we discussed the diversion of the federal minerals from the school foundation program earlier this year, or this session. You recall that right now we have one-third of the school foundation program, or one-third of our federal mineral royalties above $200 million are earmarked for the school foundation program. As it turns out, we are overfunding school foundation needs for some time. What this bill does is says, look, if it turns out that the spending stays for schools the way it is now, then every year we'll take a look at July 1 and make sure there's at least $100 million balance at the beginning of the year. So that means that the foundation account starts out with a $100 million balance on July 1 of each year. The amount in excess then goes into these funds. 79% into the student endowment account for scholarships, 21% into higher education endowment. If it turns out that we come back and we increase school spending, then the resources, essentially what it does is, it's, as long as you're spending within your available revenues, you essentially decrease the amount that flows into these accounts. If we hold education spending, then the amounts will to these funds will increase and accelerate. But as a practical matter, we have overfunded that account. When we tried to put it back into the corpus of the Common School Land Fund, people said no. We need to have it here for education. When we tried to put it back in the budget reserve account, people said, no, it's education. So here's an education purpose that we can put it in, which constitutes a savings account in a sense, and it helps ensure education for not only folks that are going to the University of Wyoming, but also to junior colleges. And it focuses on areas of improving skills that we need in the state of Wyoming. My personal belief is that the education community has come together and said, hey, look, here's something that we'll buy into. It holds down, and it's an incentive to hold down our education spending in order to get this funded as soon as possible. It's a good compromise. It gets a dream that people have had to have more support. As you recall, the evidence was that Wyoming is one of the few states that did not have a Taylor plan or a merit-based plan. Frankly, I think merit's always the way to go, because I think, frankly, in Wyoming, you can work a job, you can earn enough to go to our college, and we ought to encourage people to do better. We ought to encourage them to get good grades and go to college and do that and to come back and stay in Wyoming. I'd urge your support of the bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I've heard the planning and the debating and the visioning process that's going on across this floor, I've kind of searched for a common thread, you know, all these different roads and all these different visions, and, you know, where do they lead? As I look at the debate and as I look, listen to the discussions and hear the aspirations of every last individual member on the floor, I think the common thread that I'm beginning to see is one that I witnessed when I went to another country this fall, and that country has an economy much like ours. It has a lot of mineral, it has a lot of wealth, it has oil. They go forward with their plans, much like we are, with the realization that that resource is not going to last forever. So how do they want to take those resources and invest them? And what I saw is some of the things that I'm seeing to take place here is that they're beginning to invest in knowledge. And they're moving from a highly dependent energy-based economy to a knowledge-based economy. And they have taken many of the principles and practices of the United States, and they're beginning to apply them in such a way that regardless of what happens to their natural resource, they'll always have their human resource with the knowledge base that will carry them into whatever the world brings, whatever it brings into the new millennium. It was interesting to see the older set, the older generation, and how they managed their resources. They drove many had Mercedes, and the ladies had a lot of gold and whatnot. But as you talk to the younger generation, they were astute enough to realize that that was not what was going to take them into the future. The badge that they wore on their shoulder and the status symbol that they wanted you to recognize was their MBA. Knowledge was the asset of the future for them. As I look at many things that we've done in Wyoming and the efforts and the resources that we put into K-12, that's our statement of the significance of knowledge in the future. This particular bill that we're looking at here is a further brick in that foundation of knowledge to be applied at the college level, so to speak. We've talked about the significance of a business school, and that, I think, again, is just another brick in that knowledge base. I would hope that even though we haven't reconciled all of our differences in regard to how these might be applied and who might be rewarded, I think we can do that in the future, whether it's merit or need or however. And so in the vein that I think that it's truly knowledge that will take us through whatever times we see in the future, as times get bad or times get good, I think, in fact, if we really want to leave a legacy for our young folks, leave one of knowledge. And I think this is solidly and squarely in that position that someday that's the economy that we'd like for our children. I'd hope you'd support this bill.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. In addressing some of the questions that have been brought up, the bills dealing with the school foundation account, especially the K-12 bills, are going to get priority, and those will be looked at every year. That's why the trigger date is July 1st of every year, after we've gone through the session, and whatever is left above $100 million as of July 1st of every year will then get funneled into these accounts. So K-12, the school foundation account, and whatever we want to take out of that school foundation account during a session is going to get priority over this. So that's not going to endanger any of those bills. With regard to the $400 million stream of money that will go into this account for scholarships, we project, or actually LSO projects, over an eight-year period. None of that funding is going to be expended as a result of this bill. Instead, the committee is the first step to come up with the details on what these scholarships are going to look like. Who's going to get them, what the requirements are going to be. There will be a dimension of need that's going to be it's going to be part of that discussion. I know that it's not specified in the bill, and that's a philosophy that occurred down on the House side. However, there was a discussion in the House Education Committee and made it very clear by some members of that committee that indeed need is going to be discussed as either part of this committee's discussion or when those recommendations come to us. Need is going to be part of that discussion. Nothing's going to get done until we decide as a legislature how those funds are going to be expended into that account and who's going to be getting the money. So the details are going to be started through this committee as this funding builds up over a long period of time. As far as those who are not going to be attending college, many of them can't attend college right now because it's not accessible to them. They don't have scholarships. They don't have the money to be able to go to college. We're hoping to reach them through this very bill right here. And that's going to reverberate down through our high schools and down through junior high. When the kids get into junior high, they're going to realize that if they meet certain criteria and certain achievements, they're going to be guaranteed to be able to go to the community colleges to do those vocational programs. And through the Excellence in Education Endowment part here, we're going to find some of the best faculty in the country and right here in Wyoming to teach those vocational education classes and to do the outreach classes, or to go to the University of Wyoming. Okay. They're going to have options right now that they don't have, including being able to access community colleges and the University of Wyoming. So the vocational education part has certainly not been left out of that. That's a very important part of this. And as far as keeping our children here in Wyoming, recalling back to the discussion we had when this bill went through the Senate, a very important part of this bill is that Excellence in Education Endowment part. And that's going to be bringing some of the best faculty here, focusing on those areas of the university and the community colleges that deal with the social and economic challenges this state is facing. And we provided some examples that by bringing in top-notch faculty, that you're going to be bringing in top-notch graduate students working in practical areas of this state, and that in itself is going to create jobs. And there are very good examples of that right now, to where graduate students who could not get a job in Wyoming before that top-notch faculty person was brought in can stay here in Wyoming now. Okay? So this is a bill that lifts up all boats. And speaking of boats, Mr. President, this boat here is not for drunken sailors. Okay, we've had other boats that we had to deal with them earlier in the session. This is to empower individuals so that if they choose to have a military life, they won't get drunk. Okay, and they can choose other paths in life as well.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, let me respond to some of the questions and concerns that were raised. Question as to how much the education will be covered. That's one of the issues that the committee that's going to work on it between now and the budget session is going to have to deal with. If you look on page 16, lines 18 through 21, that's the first item on their list. So the answer to that is that this bill doesn't pretend to settle that question. And, Mr. President, that's something that is going to have to be worked on and some careful thought given, because you want to make it possible for the kids to go to college. But if they're going to value it, I think there needs to be some effort on their own part and probably some cost. So that's going to be a question that's going to have to be carefully debated, and we're going to have to debate that on this floor next year, hopefully. With regard to the question of need-based scholarships, let me say two things about that. When you talk about a program of this magnitude, and remember, you not only have this endowment, you've got all the federal student aid efforts, you've got the various scholarships that are already present, which are major, at the university and the community colleges. When you start talking about the magnitude of the program we're putting in here, the two concepts tend to start merging, because every need-based scholarship I've ever seen has a merit component to it. You have to maintain certain grades. You probably often have to have a certain grade point average to be considered for it. And the two start to converge. Now, there will be some very specific areas where you need to have a continuing need-based scholarship program, and to expand what we've got. Non-traditional students, for example. Students who've done their military first. Now, they have some additional sources of aid available to them because of that often, but it'll be important for those students. And as I interpret the language on page 16, lines 7 and 8, the committee study proposals and consider other potential scholarship programs to be funded by the earnings from the student scholarship endowment account. Now, yes, you do have a push here for the merit concept. I think that has some virtue, but I think this is well open to a compromise between the two approaches, and I think that's what we're going to get next year. The issue was raised, are you at risk of getting kids into this and then pulling the rug out from under them? Mr. President, That's a real question. That has happened in a number of other states. They adopted very ambitious programs, and they didn't have the money to follow through, and they did pull the rug out from under. But by using the endowment concept here, we're saying we're going to fund this up front before we start passing out the scholarships. And it will be there because it will no longer be dependent on our very volatile revenue source. So that issue is well taken care of. With regard to the students who really need to go to work, aren't aimed at college start with two things. This will expand on the ones who aren't aimed at college because they think there's no way they can afford it. This opens the door for them. The ones who don't want to go that route. In the skills that our modern economy requires, the programs that are offered by the community colleges are frequently the door to a good living working in the oil patch and the coal fields. The welding skills, those are taught at the community college. There's a whole series of them. They have a whole special, our community college for years had a coal field technology program, very good. These are not restricted to the academic programs. They're open to the community colleges, and those include all the various programs that they have that suit graduates to get a certificate and go into the world of work. So it's a broad-based approach. And yes, it's a vision for the future. And yes, the House has improved on the work we did. Let's support the vision. Let's not worry about, gee, they made a big change in our bill. They did, but they improved it, and we ought to support
it. Senator Coe.
President, just very briefly, and it's all been said, and I rise in support of the concurrence request. And just so the body knows, we've talked about a lot of stuff here, and we do keep the school foundation program intact, and I'm very happy about that. But this is a great problem to have in a state like Wyoming. Here we are, we have an opportunity to do some really wonderful things for our young people, and this is a program that does that. How lucky we are today to be standing here in the Senate with an opportunity to do something like this. Actually, the reason I got up was to tell everybody that our second, as we go in front of Management Council today, our second priority study recommendation to Management Council will be on student tuition assistance, and we hope to, as you will hear at Management Council, work with the committee established under this bill, Senate File 122, to assemble legislation for implementation of the student scholarship program as recommended by the committee. So the Joint Education Committee, hopefully, with the passage of this bill, the number two recommendation we'll take to Management Council is to look at this program and be involved in it. So I would ask that you do concur on this. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the state of Wyoming. What a great thing to do for our young people.
Further discussion. Senator Peck.
Mr. President, I would add that we're all privileged to live in this wonderful democracy of ours, an experiment which many people thought wouldn't last the 400 years that it has. And whether the person goes to vocational school or liberal arts college or a scientific school, they all need to have an understanding of the basic principles that make this country the strong place that it is, that people are still fighting to get here, and I'd urge support of the bill. The concurrence committee.
Further discussion on the concurrence request. Further discussion, seeing none. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 122, Message 538. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vacy.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 123, message number 538. I have some conference committees to appoint. The Conference Committee on Senate File number 71, message 535. Senator Hines, Chairman, Senator Anderson, and Senator Vacy. Conference Committee to report on Senate File 19. State Trust Lands, message 507. The Conference Committee is Senator Geis, Senator Hines, and Senator Job. The Conference Committee on House Bill number 308, message number 522. Methamphetamine initiatives are Senator Scott, Chairman, Senator Coe, and Senator Massey. The Conference Committee on House Bill 314, message 552. Are Senator Haynes, Senator Scott, and Senator Mockler. The Conference Committee on House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel, message number 557. We have Senator Haynes, Senator Barrasso, and Senator Mockler. Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 115.
House Enrolled Act number 115 being original House Bill 262 and Act relating to the Aeronautics Commission.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 115 being original House Bill 262. I have so signed. As we go through this, fellow senators, before you leave the floor, we have to have a majority on the floor. Before you leave the floor, make sure, count and make sure there are sufficient numbers. Enrolled Act number 116.
House Enrolled Act number 116 being original House Bill 93 and Act relating to taxation and revenue.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 116, being the original House Bill 93. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 117.
House Enrolled Act number 117, being original House Bill 281, and Act relating to the legislature.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 117, being original House Bill 281. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 118.
House Enrolled Act number 118, being original House Bill 329. And Act relating to education.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 118, being original House Bill 329. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 119.
House Enrolled Act Number 119, being original House Bill 166, an act relating to aeronautics.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 119, being original House Bill 166. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 120.
House Enrolled Act Number 120, being original House Bill 201, an act relating to victim assistance providers.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 20, being original House Bill Number 201. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 121.
House Enrolled Act Number 121, being original House Bill 237, an act relating to children.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 121, being original House Bill 237. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 122.
House Enrolled Act Number 122, being original House Bill 251, an act relating to child support.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 122, being original House Bill 251. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 123.
House Enrolled Act Number 123, being original House Bill 269, an act relating to school facilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 123, being original House Bill 269. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 104, Senate Enrolled Act Number 104.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 104, being original Senate File 113, an act relating to health care facilities.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 104, being original Senate File 113. Enrolled Act Number 105.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 105, being original Senate File 172, an act relating to gap accounting.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 105, being original Senate File 172. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. we have left governor's veto overrides on the desk. Would you have any motions or things you'd like to consider before we do that?
Mr. President, my intent is that we will address the, we've got two override votes, we will address them this morning. Prior to doing that, I would like the move that the Senate be in recess to the sound of the gavel so that the majority party can caucus upstairs in the normal room where we do.
Motion is that we be in recess until the sound of the gavel. Senator DeCaria.
Minority office.
Okay. You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until the sound of the gavel.